Hey, good morning. Stand up with me. Sing with me. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Now every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You my weakness, my failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find.
You're the only one who can. He turns seas. I don't have to scream. He turns seas into highways. And if any of you have seen Charlton Heston, you know that old movie where he stands at the Red Sea and it opens so that they can go through an impossible situation where the Lord shows his might and his power on behalf of his people. And I want you to know that he can do the same for you. I'm not saying that things are going to be perfect for you. I'm not saying that things are going to be easy for you. I'm not saying that every little thing is going to work out perfectly, but I am telling you that whatever it is that you face this morning, whatever sea that is in front of you, God knows. God knows, and he wants to intervene in your life, and he wants to do something good in and through you, not just for you, but so you can be a witness to his goodness. And so this morning, I hope that you come and you make yourself at home. I hope that you come and you feel a sense of peace. And I hope that you experience the presence of God in a very real and tangible way this morning. You're in a good place, and we're so happy to have you. Continue to worship with us this morning.
We want to teach you a song. I think this is going to be my 2024 song. With so many, it feels like it's been crazy the last couple of years. It doesn't feel that way. It's been crazy the last couple of years, right? And it's easy to forget that we serve a God who is greater when we're stuck looking at what's in front of us. But I'm thankful that he's more than able. So we want to teach you this song.
You are.
God is more than able.
God is more than able. God is more than able. God is more than
sing that one more time. Can we go back?
God is more than able. God is more than able.
Whatever you're going through.
God is more than able.
More than able to come to Him. We know that we can speak His name.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within Your presence. Speak Jesus.
Shadows burn. may be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the words of that song that just remind us that there is nothing that you can't do. I know I get lost sometimes when I wonder why you haven't done some things, Lord. But I pray that you continue to increase my faith, that you increase the faith of my brothers and sisters here as we wait to see how you work. Increase our faith as we wait for those things that don't make sense to be resolved. As we wait for healing, sometimes we don't know why it doesn't happen. Lord, I just confess my need for you. I think we collectively confess our need for you as we're lost without you. Sometimes we do want to just feel you, Lord. So if it's a feeling of you that we need, give that to us. But Lord, give us a knowledge of you that goes beyond feelings, a real faith that we know that you were there whether we feel it or not, that we can trust you whether we feel it or not. Because as I look back towards my past, towards the past of many others, you have always been faithful. So we praise you in all things, God. Amen. Well, as we move towards passing the peace, I'll tell you a little bit about yesterday. Yesterday we had a funeral in here for Danny's sister-in-law. It was packed. I've never seen like that here in my life. We've got out every single chair in the entire place. Then there was about 50 people still standing. And there were some interesting slides. One of them with an interesting finger shown, and everybody laughed. Another lady come up here and used some choice language, and everybody laughed. And I was thinking, like, man, at a different time in life, I probably would have found some offense in that. Like, oh, that's not church behavior. But here's the thing. This lady that passed, she was loved like I've seen very few people loved. And the thing was, I think she loved others like very few people love. And it was a great opportunity to share some real light. It was one of those moments I won't forget for the rest of my life, where God brought a group of people together because of grief. And in the end, there was joy. And there was the light of Jesus was shared, was shown. And the conversations that happened after that funeral were absolutely surprising. Half of the people, I think, were here from Crane Lakes. And so there are people in our community that are just searching for something, searching for hope, searching for that passing of the peace that we're supposed to do, that we are doing. So I want you to know, you here this morning on a Sunday, God is preparing you for a mission unlike any that you've experienced before, and it's going to be the greatest thing of all time. We often get scared. Often there's a lot of effort. We think, oh, it's going to be too hard. God is going to make things happen around here where he's going to set people in your path, and sharing that light is going to be the easiest thing possible. So let's stand together. Appreciate those around you. Say hi to some new people, but know that you are loved by those around you. And let's love our neighbors well.
Well, I think this is the hardest part. This is the hardest part of a Sunday morning service for me. Because the visiting and sharing that's happening is so, so good. And the peace of Christ is being passed all through this room. If you're watching online, I hope the peace of Christ is present with you this morning. It's hard to stop that. But then again, I have some introvert friends that tell me sitting there alone, hoping nobody talks to you, is challenging. And so we do move on in worship. So got a few announcements for us this morning. The first is our Connect cards. They're not in the backs of the chairs anymore. They're out in the lobby as you're leaving. Or if you want to just open up your camera and hover it over that QR code, quick form, your name, email address, so that we can stay in touch with you. We're not going to add you to a list and spam you every day wanting you to renew your car insurance or anything like that. But we just want to stay in touch, let you know what's going on around the church. And if you have any needs or prayer requests, there's a spot on that form for you to give us those informations as well. Or, moving into the next two announcements, the next one is our Compass membership class. And so this is a class that Pastor Jen does usually every year about this time. And it's not just for people who want to become members of the church. It's for people who are already members who maybe haven't been through a class in a long time. You're like, I want to see what's going on. Or if you're just new here and you want to find out more about us, you're welcome to come. And if you decide to join the church, that's great. If you don't, that's great too. It's just good being here worshiping together. And then our third thing is baptisms. So we're going to be having a baptism service coming up pretty soon. We normally go down to the beach for that. It's a little chilly for that this time of year. This morning, I actually wish we had a fireplace here in the church. But we do have a baptismal back here that we can use. And so if you have not been baptized and you want to, let Pastor Garen know. Grab any one of the pastors, or that Connect card would be a great place to let us know about that as well. And then last, but certainly not least, it's our Bible reading plan. We made that available last week, and there was another piece of paper where you wrote down your one word for the year. And in addition to that, you picked between six different things. 41% of us that filled out that form and left it here said we wanted to do more Bible reading. So this is another good opportunity to grab your phone, take a picture of this screen. This is the Bible reading plan for the month of January. It's a great plan. You knock out half the Bible in the month of January, and then we've got 11 months to do the other half. I mean, when you look at your Bible, that's a lot of pages to read. So it can be kind of daunting, but to think that we can get half the Bible knocked out in the month of January and go through this together. So if you want to do that, take a picture here. You can also go to our Facebook page and see the plan there. Back on that Connect card, every single one of these leads back to the Connect. You could let us know there you want to be added to the weekly email list, and we'll send this out. But if you want to join us in reading through the Bible this year, that would be great. We would love to have you participating in that. Be great this time next year if 41% or more of our congregation said we've read the whole Bible. Last but certainly not least is a time of offering and giving here. There are many ways to give. There are boxes outside in the lobby that you can drop your check off. You can give online through the church website. You can text to give. You can even bring a check, put it in an envelope, pay $1.03 or something like that for a stamp if you want, and mail it to the church. Many different ways. God doesn't really care how you give your offering. It's just that you give. And so let's pray for our offering at this time. God, you are the great giver of life and all good things in our lives. And during this time of offering, we give back to you. We give of our money, but we also want during this time to commit ourselves to that one word that we wrote last week, to giving of our time and reading your scriptures. But God, we pray that these funds that are given this morning, that you will take them, that you will use them here in our church, in the city of Port Orange, and literally, Lord, around the world to impact people for the kingdom of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning, good morning. How are y'all doing? I'm Garen. What's up? And Jason led us in prayer, and Tim just left the stage, and Jen welcomed us, and the four of us pastor you, I'm glad that y'all are here today. We are starting a new series. It's our first series in 2024. Wahoo! And it's called Win the Day. Win the Day. Win the Day. This is going to be a series that hopefully will help you have a little less stress, help you accomplish a little bit more, and help you grow closer to God if you will try these habits for the next year. Full disclosure, a lot of what I'm talking about is from a couple of sources. The primary one is the book titled Win the Day by Mark Batterson. Another one we're going to talk about in a little bit is John Acuff's Soundtracks. And then a couple of articles, but just wanted to let you know because I didn't want you to be like, I think I've seen a book like that. Yeah, you have. And it's a great book. Pick it up. Read it. So, on August 22nd, 1851, Queen Victoria watched as Commander John Cox Stevens and his six-man crew won the 53-mile regatta known as the America's Cup. There you go. You didn't think I'd be talking about boating. Oh, and Kimmy, I don't have my slide thing. Can you handle this for me? All right. Well, nothing yet. Actually, give it to me. You're gonna jump ahead of me. Come on. So, when Queen Victoria saw the boat pass, thank you so much. Sorry about that. This is what happens. She said, so who's in second place? To which the famous response was, ah, Your Majesty, there is no second place. And that was the beginning of one of the most amazing winning streaks in sports history. The New York Yacht Club successfully defended the America's Cup for 132 years. They were undefeated for over a century until September 26, 1983, when the Australia 2... Oh, Kimmy, you are going to have to do it. My button's not working. Show me a picture of a boat or two. When Australia 2 ended the longest winning streak in sports history, beating the second place team by 41 seconds. And this was huge. Australia considered it a national holiday. ABC's Wild World of Sports named the boat as the athlete of the year. I mean, this was huge. The question that everybody asked was, how on earth did Australia 2 do what no other team had been able to do for 132 years? I mean, think about this. The winning streak of the New York Yacht Club lasted through two world wars, the Great Depression, the Civil War. The streak was longer. The streak started 25 years before the invention of the telephone. How on earth did somebody break this streak? Well, if you haven't experienced anything but defeat for 132 years, any other outcome seems impossible, doesn't it? The first thing you need to do is today's habit, and that's flip the script. You have to rewrite the narrative of your life and start telling yourself a different story, a better story. So here's what's happened. Love it. Several years before the 1983 America's Cup, the Australian skipper, his name was Mike Fletcher, and he had just read a book called Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And the moral of the story was, begin by knowing that you have already arrived. Begin by knowing that you have already arrived. Sounds a lot like Stephen Covey's, what is it, Begin with the End in Mind. So what he did, he made a recording. He made a recording of the Australian team winning the race, and it had a narrative that went along with it, and you could hear in the background, he put the cutting of water, the cutting of a boat through water, and he gave it to every team member and told them, I want you to listen to this every day, twice a day. So they did. Twice a day, every day, they listened to this recording of them winning the America's Cup. They did that for 3 years. So by the time the 1983 America's Cup came along, they had already heard themselves winning the race 2,190 times. They flipped the script, which is the exact opposite of our Bible story today, which is found in Numbers chapter 11. And I've got the words for you today. Oh, thank you. Blah. Numbers chapter 11. So just to set this up, this is Moses and the people, and they're after Egypt. And we'll break into a little more afterwards. Soon, the people began to complain about their hardship, and the Lord heard everything they said. And then the Lord's anger blazed against them, and he sent a fire to rage among them. And he destroyed some of the people in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people screamed to Moses for help, and when he prayed to the Lord, the fire stopped. After that, the area was known as Taberah, which means the place of burning, because fire from the Lord had burned among them there. Then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. Oh, for some meat, they exclaimed. We remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt, and we had all the cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna. So let's just be sure we're all on the same page for what's going on. This is happening not long after the Israelites were delivered from Egypt. If you'll recall, God saved them. He sent 10 plagues, and Pharaoh finally relented and let the people go. In fact, Egypt was so broken, they sent the Israelites out with gold and silver and clothing and goods. It was like, basically, we can't pay you enough to get out of here. And then God parted the Red Sea, and they walked through the sea on dry land. You would think that all of this would have been enough for the Israelites to trust God, for them to see that God had something better for them than what they had come out of. But let's be honest, we humans, we are stubborn creatures, aren't we? And after 400 years of complaining and being slaves, it's hard for the people of God to flip the script and live grateful lives of freedom. Slavery is all they had known. Complaining is all they'd been able to do. And when it's all you know, it's what you continue to do. So in Exodus 15, they complained and turned against Moses. In Exodus 16 and 17, they complained. In Numbers 11 and 12, And 14 and 16 and 17, they complained. In Deuteronomy 1, they complained. In Deuteronomy 6, they complained. We don't have time to mention all the dozens of times that the people of Israel reverted back to their old story and started to complain. It turns out getting Israel out of Egypt was a lot easier than getting Egypt out of Israel. In fact, the trip from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land, I think a lot of us know this, the trip should have taken 11 days. 11! Less than 2 weeks. Now, I don't know if you've read the story of how it ended up being different, but here's what happened. There were 12 spies that were told, go scout the land and then report back to Moses. So 12 of them went for 40 days, and they scouted the land. It's the one, I remember when I was a kid, do you remember seeing the picture of the two guys and the grapes? The two of them were carrying together, because that's how, like, do you remember that picture as a kid?
Yes.
Good, okay, I'm not the only one. I thought maybe my parents damaged me or something. So they went, and they saw an amazing, fertile land. They also saw a bunch of big, mean, scary people. So the 12 came back after 40 days, and they said, this is serious, dudes. These guys are big, they are mean, they are cranky, and they will kill us. Caleb was the only one of the 12 that said, no, 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 we can take them. Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. He also was like, we can take these guys. But because the 12 spent 40 days seeing the goodness that God wanted to give them and they didn't have faith, God said, I'm giving you 1 year for every day. So an 11-day trip ended up taking 14,600 days. That's a long detour. One of the biggest problems that the Israelites had, selective memory. Even in our passage today, oh, you remember the fish we had? The cucumbers, the leeks, the garlic, the onions. Oh, we had it so good. What they conveniently forgot was that they were slaves. They were commodities to be used by the Egyptians. They were nothing more than something to use, abuse. They were less than human. They were beaten. They were oppressed. They were killed. They forgot that they had spent 430 years crying out for deliverance. Instead, they selectively remembered the few glimmers of light that they had in their miserable lives. Because when a particular story is all that you know, it's difficult to imagine a different story. They'd been slaves for so long that they couldn't fathom what freedom felt like. They'd been oppressed by the Egyptians and the Egyptian gods and the Egyptian ways of seeing the world that they couldn't picture life with the one true God. They couldn't picture what freedom could actually feel like. They were stuck with a bad but familiar script in their lives. And so they just played it over and over and over again. They had incorrect memories. They had incomplete memories. They fixated on those minor details, those glimpses of freedom, and they forgot the overwhelming reality that they were slaves and they needed God to set them free. And church, if we're not careful, selective memory will be our downfall. We live so much of our lives remembering things incorrectly. Like the glory days of high school. How many of you ever said that? I've said, oh man, you remember high school, the glory days? Yeah, I remember how great they were with all the stress and the worry about dates and the acne and the sitting through government class in high school. Yeah, that was great. No, the glorious days weren't that glorious. We all have selective memory, don't we? We buy into these false truths and then we live this script that isn't real and it's not what God created us to be. Have you heard the term elephant chaining? As an animal lover, I do not condone this. I think it's horrible. But this is when you have a baby elephant and you will chain it and rope it down. And when the elephant tries to get free, it can't because it's not strong enough yet. And it ends up hurting itself. And so the elephant learns at an early age, I can't break through. I am stuck. And so what happens is, as they grow up, they give up. They buy into the story that I am bound and can never be free. And that's how you can see at circuses these huge elephants being pulled by the lightest of strings, because they don't realize that they could flip the script and have a different story. They have bought into the story that they were told, and that's all they will ever be. They're bound by things that shouldn't hold them down. And how many of us do the same thing? How many of us are bound by things in our past that shouldn't hold us down? They shouldn't have power over us anymore. We allow these past vices to continue to hold us down. Sometimes we even glorify them. They're connection points with other people. Well, misery loves company. We both have the same issues. We live our lives bound and labeled by our past. We tell ourselves stories. The script in our mind often goes something like this: I'm broken. I'm an addict. I'm an idiot. I'm a failure. I'm a nobody. I'm unloved. I'm unlovable. I'm alone. How many of us have vices like anger, alcohol, sex, gossip, pride? And the scary thing is, a lot of these things actually help us get ahead in this world. But they come with this selective memory because we forget the guilt that we feel. We forget the out of control feeling that we have. We forget the shame. We forget the broken relationships that come with a lot of our destructive actions. We forget that we don't like ourselves when we're that way. So John Acuff wrote a book called Soundtracks. I can't recommend it enough. Actually, I probably could, but I'm not going to. John Acuff, Soundtracks. This book is a great resource. He talks about this idea. He talks about the importance of changing the voices that you listen to. If you don't like the soundtrack that's playing in your head, change the song. Which is another way of saying what our lesson is today. Flip the script. Change the voices that you're listening to. How do we do that? Well, I think a good place for us to start is by focusing on today. This is really difficult for us. So psychologists, let me get their names right, Matthew Killingsworth and Daniel Gilbert, they did research and they found that the average person spends 46.9% of their time thinking of something other than what they're currently doing, which means we're half there half the time. And we don't understand why we have so many problems. Folks, you cannot fix your yesterdays. And it doesn't do any good worrying about your tomorrows. The only thing that we've been promised is today. You can be present today. You can live for God today. You can choose to be fully alive and aware of God's goodness today, now. So I'm going to suggest to you what's called the 24-hour reset. Everybody say 24-hour reset. Awesome, you did it. Drew, you're going to love this. There's this little dude in football. His name was Emmett Smith. He played for this little town in Texas called Dallas. He just happens to hold still after being retired for what, 90,000 years? He holds the current rushing yard record with 18,355 yards. Y'all, that's 3 miles. That's 3 miles with 250-pound men on top of him. That's 3 miles, 4.2 yards at a time. He was once asked how he can stay so focused, and he said, I have a 24-hour rule. Doesn't matter how good a day is, it doesn't matter how bad a day is, I give myself 24 hours to feel it, and then I move on. So if I win the Super Bowl, or if I blow the play that sends us, that kicks us out of the tournament, I give myself 24 hours, and then I move on, because I can't focus on that. That's just a sentence in my story. It is not my story. What would happen if we could live our spiritual lives with this 24-hour rule? And I think there's a case to be made biblically for this 24-hour rule. Work with me here. What's the deadline for anger, if you know this? What does the Bible say? Sunset. So you got a day. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. What's the expiration date for manna? How long did it last? 1 day, and then it would turn into maggots. When are we to rejoice and be glad? Today. When are God's mercies made new? Every morning. 24 hours. How often are we to take up our cross? Daily. Jesus prayed for what kind of bread? Daily bread. I think there is a case to say, for us to say, you cannot control very much, but you can control how you live your life for God today. We like to think we have control of our lives, but the truth is we have very little control, and wouldn't it be best to surrender that to Jesus today? What if we could get into this 24-hour rhythm? If things go well, praise God. We celebrate, and then we continue following God. If things go bad, praise God. We mourn, but then we continue following God. A lot of it comes down to just reframing our lives and God's place in our lives. What we like to do is we like to live our lives and have God present in our lives. But the problem is, the focus still remains on us, our goals, our dreams, our successes, our failures. Instead, what would happen if we could find ourselves in God's life? What if we could flip the script and be found in God's life? Reframe ourselves and our story in the story of God. What if we could live in the freedom, knowing that God is the subject and we are just one of these beautiful sentences that God is writing in this narrative of God's goodness? We're part of God's story, not the other way around. And as the story of God is being written in our lives, we get to live knowing that God has his fingerprints all over us, because we are living for God today in everything we do. We're simply called to live for today. Remember Matthew 6? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough troubles on its own. We can't afford to worry there and spend our time there. We can't afford to worry about what's already happened that we can't change. We can only choose to live in the moment today. How will I respond to God today? That's the most important question you can ask yourself right now. Will I surrender to God, or will I continue to write my own story and let him be a little cliff note or footnote at the end of it? Today's what we have. Today is God's. Today, you can choose to flip your script. So what do you do when those voices come in your mind? I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I just have this kind of job, I'm nothing special, I'm unlovable. Well, I suggest you start listening to a different soundtrack. I think about things like your joint heirs with Jesus. You're a child of God. You are beloved. There are hundreds of names for God. And when you are God's child, those all become yours because you are his and he is yours. One of the passages that I love when I'm talking about, okay, can I do this? Can I stay with God? There are so many distractions, so many things pulling at me, so many things that are trying to keep me from being all that God wants me to be today. I think of Romans 8. Romans 8:35 says this, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or destitute or in danger or even threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we're being killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. So Paul is saying, troubles hit everyone. Does that mean Christ doesn't love us just because we have problems? No. Despite all these things, those things are a different story. This is our story. Despite all those things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears for today, nor worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above, on the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, that from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. How could our lives be different if we could flip the script? That song that we sang, that we started to teach you today, that has been running through my mind for about 3 months. When did I start to forget all the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How easy is it for us to set our faith aside and just say, well, it can never happen? How did I start to believe that you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? You are more than able. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Here. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Can you imagine what all the faith in the room, with all the faith in the room, what the Lord could do? It's going to happen. Just let the waymaker through. He's going to move. Anything is possible. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Today, we're still in that 2024 reset. Church, we tell ourselves a lot of stories, and if the research is correct, most of the things we tell ourselves is negative. In an article in Psychology Today in October of last year, titled, "The Stories We Tell Ourselves Determine What We See," the author validates what I'm saying to you today. We see what we believe. If we see there is no way, we will believe there is no way. If we see that we will always be victims, we will believe that. If we see that our vices will always have control over us, what would happen if we could start to see that God is more than able? That overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus. That we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. That God so loved the world that he gave. That nothing can ever separate us. That if we confess he is faithful, what would happen if we would start to see that in our everyday lives? Wow, God, I really screwed up just then, but you're faithful to forgive if I confess. I'm sorry, will you make me new again? Fix this. What would happen if we could believe that God could actually intervene and step in? this bill came. It's way bigger than I expected. God, we don't have this. What are we going to do? I guess we're just going to have to figure something out. What would happen, and this isn't to say that God is our magic genie, but what would happen is instead of God being our last resort, we made God our first resort and said, God, I need your help with this bill. I don't know if it means me working extra or if it means you providing for me in some miraculous way or like Monopoly and there is an error found in your favor and you receive. I don't know what it is, God, but I'm just going to walk today believing that you are more than able and I will take the path that you give me. Today is my prayer that we will begin to see ourselves as precious components in the story of God. It's my prayer that we will start flipping the script so that God isn't conveniently a part of our story, but we, fully surrendered, are part of God's story. It's time to flip the script. If we can flip the script and allow God to have complete access to all that we are and all that God has for us, church, anything is possible. Do you believe that? Let's pray. Jesus, you are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. And God, how quickly do we recall ways that you have provided for us and equally quickly worry that you won't do it again. We adopt the mindset of the world that says we have to do it ourselves. We can only trust ourselves. Nobody else is going to take care of it except for us. And we forget that we belong to you. You are ours and we are yours. And so if it's important, you will handle it. With our help, through our hands, you will move. God, we live lives oppressively, which is why programs like AA and CR and all these things can really help us because we start to see that we are called to live for a higher power. You break the power of canceled sins and set the prisoners free. God, I pray that you will help us. As a third of our people said last week that confession is going to be a bigger part of their life this year. God, may we confess those times when we are not living for today, when we're that 46% distracted, thinking of something else, when we should be focused on what you're placing before us today. God, create prayer lives in us that can move mountains. Create faith in us. God, we only need a mustard seed size. If you could just create that much faith in us, poor orange doesn't stand a chance. Use us. Flip the script in our minds, God. Help us to remember that we are no longer slaves. We are your children. We are no longer in bondage. We are set free. We pray this in your name, mighty Redeemer. Amen. I can't think of a better example of flipping the script than the table. For thousands of years, it was a moment where the people of Israel remembered God's deliverance and saving their physical lives. And in an upper room with 12 of his closest cronies, Jesus flipped the script. And he said, yes, this is for you, but this isn't just for you. This is for humanity. This is for us Gentiles, thanks be to God. And he said, no longer is it about these rituals. Those rituals were just signs of what I was going to be doing. I am the spotless lamb that takes away the sins of the world, and I will give my life as an atonement for you. So he flipped the script, and instead of talking about the bread and the manna that they had in the wilderness, he said, this bread represents my body, which will be broken for you. Take, eat, and be thankful. And then he lifted up the cup, and instead of talking about the blood on the doorposts, he talked about the blood that would be on a different type of wood. And he said, this blood represents, or this juice represents my blood, which will be shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink all of it, and be thankful. Maybe one of the best ways we can learn to flip the script is to spiritually drink all of God in. So I'm going to invite you to come to the table. There is no, you don't have to be a member here. You don't have to be a regular tender here. If you are someone who loves Jesus or wants to know more about this Jesus that can save you, then this is for you. This table is open. It's not our table. We don't police it. This is God's table, and God so loved the world. So, Father, we come to you today thankful for these elements. We know they're just bread and juice, and yet somehow we believe that spiritually, mystically, I don't know, I don't have the right vocabulary, but somehow you are present here with us right now in these elements as we take them together. God, as we take them in, may we walk out with you fully in control of our lives. As we continue to, through prayer and scripture and the things we listen to and the voices that we put into our heads, may that be a reflection of who you are, so that when we are out in the world, all that's coming out of us is who you are and who you love and how you would act and the places you would go. And we just start to embody you because we are taking you in daily, not just in these elements, but by the way we live our lives, so that we can live you incarnationally in our neighborhoods, in our houses, in our cities. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. We pray this, Holy Spirit, in your name. We pray this, Holy Father, in your name. Amen. I need a helper. Drew, would you mind helping me? The table is open. Come to the table as you're ready. Hey, will you stand with me? Thank you for being here. I pray that this week you will flip the script and live fully engaged in God's love for you. Will you sing our benediction with me? We sing hallelujah, let your kingdom come in our hearts, in our homes. Let your will be done. And as we go in your name, we shout and we proclaim, let your will be done in us. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.